what happens between the resurrection and an ascension, to Jesus, to the coming of the Holy Spirit, to the disciples, to those who've seen him, he appeared to all sorts of encounters that Jesus had with the different people between those 40 days from the resurrection to ascension, and then of course to the coming of the Holy Spirit on the 50th day. Matthew 28 says, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, as his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to them, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Come and see. Then go quickly. Go and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you, you go and tell. Go and tell. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. They will see me there. Go and tell. Go and tell. This is the story that I want to share with you this morning. Some of the message that is about going and telling our stories is about going and telling his story. That this morning we are called to be, what we calling in our Christian circle, in our church, witnesses. But I would like to call it this morning the page turners. What happens between the resurrection and the ascension? What happens from the Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes to today? Go and tell. We have stories to tell. We have a story to tell. We have our story to tell within the framework of that big, massive story. So let me now read you a few words from Acts chapter 1. The first two verses says like this, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instruction to the Holy Spirit, to the apostle he had chosen. They had a story to tell, and they've been chosen to tell that story. Now I'm going to move to verse 12 in Acts 1. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. So that's not Judas the Iscariot. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and sure in our ministry. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong. His body burst open and all his intestine spilled out. Now, this is Luke who writes this. He is a doctor. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, that is field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. I'm going to stop here, and we're going to come back to God's word later on, as we turn the page, from the resurrection to ascension, as we turn the page from Luke to Acts, as we turn the page into our lives and what the Holy Spirit is doing in and through us. Let's pray together. Prayers of intercession this morning. I just opened my news up this morning, and if you look of what's going on, it's just unbelievable how almost 80% of the news, that you look at them, in whatever way you look at them, it's bad, it's war, it's conflict, it's fighting, it's scary, it's fear, it's damage, it's control, it's, I don't know how else I can describe it before you this morning. It's a world in which we live just now. I was talking to someone at the gym the other day who has a very high job in this country, in the security kind of affairs of this country and throughout the world. And she said to me, well, we don't realize that war these days is not any more guns and killings and so on. The biggest war that happens these days is disabling communication, is media manipulation, is controlling banks and governments and policies and so on. And this is the biggest war that people are not aware of. And this is where they're trying, the enemy is trying to win over other people's lives. There are different wars going on, whether it's out there in the world, whether it's in our lives, whether it's in our city, whether it's wherever it is. But we know, and this is where we're here, this is why we pray, that Jesus Christ has the last move checkmate and is not at the fault. As I said last week, he might still have the nails and he will still hurt the world and influence the leaders and scare the people and his people, but he doesn't have the hammer anymore. He will have the nails and he will hurt, but not the hammer. Not the hammer. So let us come to a time of prayer of intercession and bring our request, the world that God created before him, and pray for his peace in our world, in our lives, in our city, in our church. And so, Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we come because you are the source of life. You are the creator of the world. And everything is done, planned, and everything is made by you. Nothing happens and moves without your knowledge, without your purpose, without your will being fulfilled. The scripture is being fulfilled before our own eyes. The scripture had to be fulfilled in the life of your son, Jesus, word by word. And we thank you that you have revealed that to us through your Holy Spirit, that lives within us, that comforts us, challenges us, walks with us, and even prays for us when we cannot pray. Father, we thank you that you have called us to be co-workers in your kingdom, co-workers alongside you, alongside your Son and your Holy Spirit. We bring before you the world in which we live indeed, from Moscow to Jerusalem, from Kiev to Delhi, from Nairobi to Sydney. Lord, we hear of wars and rumors of war. We hear of people being exploited, of refugees being mistreated and turned back home. We hear of wars and conflicts, not only in between countries, but in between cities, between people, and not only between nations, but also between relatives. Father, we live in a world that is so full, at the moment seems to be, of anger, resentment, bitterness. Yet we are here to proclaim that you are Christ. You are the Messiah, and that you, above everything else that we see in the world, you are the Prince of Peace. You are our Comforter. You are the hope of the world and the light of the world. And you have called us in the midst of this world to witness, to tell a different story. A story of a Christ who suffered but is alive forevermore. A story of a Christ who healed and walked on water, but also who touched and fed and walked the extra mile with his people. We are here to tell a story that in the midst of difficulties, there is hope and joy, there is rejoicing. That in the midst of tears and burdens and hills to climb, there is a presence, there is the Holy Spirit, there is your promise with us. In the midst of a world that is broken, Christ is at the center. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. As we pray for our government and the leaders there, we pray for our city and its leaders here. Hospitals and businesses, universities, banks and shops. Lord, we bring them at your feet and we pray that you will continue to prosper our city, our churches, prosper your mission that you've given us in this city and beyond. Prosper the country and the world. May this country become a place of refuge rather than rejection, a peace rather than just a propaganda. May our leaders lead godly with your kingdom values on their agendas. We pray for our church here that you will have your healing hand over us. People who are struggling, whether it's financially or physically, Lord, may you touch us. Whether we struggle with forgiveness and bitterness, with the fresh wounds of betrayal, Lord, touch us. May we forgive as we forgive others. Lord, we want you to come in our midst and hear your words, peace be with you. Peace be with you. And breathe your Holy Spirit on us. That we may step in your steps, in the footsteps of your Spirit, in your mission, that our ministries will be fully surrendered to your will, in total obedience to your purpose and mission in the world here and beyond. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Let your inspiration, let your encouragement flow in and through us. Holy Spirit, come, and where there is need for reconciliation, where there is need for forgiveness, where there is need for embrace, come. Yet in the midst of this, we count our blessing, the blessings to be together as a church family, the blessing that you've given us as a family, children and grandchildren, the blessing that we have to live in peace in this city and in this country. the blessing that we have, that we can put bread on the table, go home, lay our heads on the pillow, and wake up the next day. The blessing that we have of your word and your promises, your faithfulness, your care and compassion, your unending love. What a blessing. What a blessing. Lord, we have so many stories to tell. But we need your Holy Spirit to help us do it. And so we ask that you will breathe on us the Holy Spirit. Breathe on each one of us, we pray. On us that we may get a glimpse of a new love and revelation of Jesus Christ for each one of us individually, but also as a church. Breathe on us the freshness of your promises. Breathe on us your faithfulness. Breathe on us, Holy Spirit, your compassion. Breathe on us your forgiveness. Breathe on us, Holy Spirit, we pray. Breathe on us. Amen. Please be seated. So I just want to share with you a few thoughts on the story that we have to tell. So Jeffrey, thank you for the PowerPoint. I rely really fully on it. It's interesting how we all have a story. And if I were to call you this morning up here and say, come and tell me how you became a Christian, we're about 50, 60 people here this morning. You will take us probably till tonight, 10, 11 o'clock, even if we're just to talk 10, 15, 20 minutes or so, to tell how this gospel of Jesus Christ, how this story of this man who claimed to be God came and ministered his grace to you, how you understood the cross, how you follow him, how that impacted your life, your family, how you have seen prayers that have been answered, or if you're honest enough, struggle with some issues that have not been answered, how you would have hope that something will happen in your life and happen. It hasn't happened. You will come and tell me stories of how God has affirmed you and lifted you up from the depths of despair and depression and distress and so on. There will be a really good day to go home and hear that kind of stories and be encouraged and blessed by what God is doing in our lives. Shall we do that one day? Yeah. Shall we do that one day? We bring lunch, we bring everything we need here, and we hear the stories of how God worked in our life. Wouldn't that be great? And in between, we just have some praise. Yeah, we'll do that. Andrew, we'll start with you. Right, so let me carry on. Joan, I'll give you a minute. I'll give you some space in a minute. Let me carry on. Those are the stories that we want to tell, stories that God has come into our lives, has blessed us, we follow him. And sometimes we thought that the story will end okay, but it doesn't seem to end okay. And we struggle with that. Sometimes our hopes have been tarnished, our dreams have not been fulfilled. And yet I find that it is in the messiness of our stories that the biggest blessings come alive. And this is what I want to talk to you about today. A story to tell. This is how the book of Acts starts. It says, in my former book. Now, do we know who wrote Acts of Apostles? Come on, the men should know because they've been studying the Acts of Apostles. Jimbo, who wrote the Acts of Apostles? Luke. Luke wrote the Acts of Apostles. Indeed, Dr. Luke, who wrote Luke? What does Luke wrote? The Gospel of Luke. Yes, wonderful. And it says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all the Jesus, and look at that word there, just began to do. He only just began to do, and that's, you know, I just wrote about some of the things that he started, but he hasn't finished. Because as I read in the last verses of the Gospel of Luke, it says this, the ascension of Jesus. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. But you see, the story doesn't end there. Because if I turn now gently to the Acts, Luke says something else. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote to you about some of the things that Jesus did, but that's not the end, boy. This is just the beginning. Jesus began until the day he was taken up to heaven. We've seen how that first, you see, sometimes we think that when we go to difficulties and we have challenges in life, we think that that is the story. It isn't. It's just a chapter. And another one starts after that. Doesn't it? We think that that's the whole movie. It isn't. It's just an episode. And God, through the Holy Spirit, begins something else in our lives. In my former book, in what I've done before, in the pain that I experience, in the silliness that I've been going through, in the stupidity that I've dwelt on. Look what it says there. Look what it says. Until the days he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit. In my silliness, in my last chapter, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit came in and he did this. And he starts a new one. And he starts another one. And another one. And another one. Because failure is not an event as such. Failure and whatever my life has been going through is more than an event. It's something that God has allowed it to happen so that I can begin not only to praise him and trust him, but begin to make a sense of his purpose in my life so I can tell the story. After giving instruction to the Holy Spirit, to the apostles he had chosen. The apostles, those were brothers who have seen the resurrected Christ, who have believed in his death and resurrection, and now they were called to witness. They've been chosen to win. They've been chosen to go and tell their stories. Turn the page. Because we've seen Jesus and his ministry. We've seen him walking on water. We've seen him calming the storm. We've seen him healing the guy who was sitting by the pool of Bethesda. We've seen him open the blind eyes of Bartimaeus. We see him calling Zacchaeus and going and eating with the tax collectors and sinners and healing and forgiving the prostitutes. We've seen all that stuff. But now the page is turning and we've been chosen to go to the same Spirit to do the same. There is our story linked to his story to go and tell the magnificent power of the story of all stories. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began. And I want to move on to verses 12 and onwards of Acts chapter 1, because this is so powerful, really powerful. I want to bring a couple of truths out for you this morning in the 10 minutes that I've got left or so. In those days, It says this, in those days, this is in verse 15. Well, let me start at verse 12. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives. So this is Jesus has gone. After 40 days of being with them and appearing here and there, ascension took place and Jesus has gone. So the disciples return. Luke left us with that image in his former book. Now he comes back to this scene and says, they return back to Jerusalem to the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, and so on and so on. But someone is missing. Somebody is missing there. Who is missing? Jesus is missing. Jesus is not there. Judas is not there. Judas has been replaced. And sometimes we are between those, at the end of those 40 days and the other 10 days when the Holy Spirit is given, we are within those 10 days when we feel that we got no more stories to tell, that our stories don't count anymore, that God is not present anymore. Because imagine after the disciples have seen these guys for 3 years doing and performing so many miracles, who've seen Jesus being their guide and their inspiration and their mentor and their teacher, he's gone. He is gone. He has completely gone. Imagine how much they felt during those moments. Peter joined James, Andrew, and so on and so forth. They all joined together, and look what they say. It's interesting. Because during that very difficult time, the Holy Spirit wasn't given. Jesus has gone. 10 days of darkness, of despair, of disillusionment for some of them, of complete broken dreams and hopes tarnished. Look what they were doing. Joined together in verse 14, constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Constantly in what? Moaning? In prayer. And then you come to verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled. Peter stood up. Let me show you where in the former book Peter was. Do you remember Peter's life? Peter, who was quite on fire for God many a times, but when he mattered the most, he denied Jesus. When he mattered the most, he kind of washed his hands and said, I don't know him. You've been there. No, I haven't. You know this guy. No, I don't. Oh, I didn't recognize you among them. No. When you asked those questions, look where Peter was. Peter, when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with him by the fire. In my former book, Theophilus, in the Luke, I wrote to you about Peter who denied Christ. But the Holy Spirit turned the page. And as he turned the page, Peter, the sinner, the one who denied Christ, the one who cannot be forgiven, the one we label the betrayal, the one who betrayed Christ, this time says this, Peter stood up. He wasn't sitting down. He wasn't by the fire, but with the fire inside, because this time he had a story to tell of grace in his life transformed. Who, if that grace would have reached him and Christ would have punished him for his denial, wouldn't have had the Peter stand up, wouldn't have had the gospel to proclaim, wouldn't have had a story to tell. It's because of Peter and Paul at the end of the day who have seen God's grace unfolding, the story of his love and compassion unfolding in their lives, that this guy had the courage to stand up and proclaim his story in the midst of his story. Of his story. Peter stood up and says, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something here. The scripture had to be fulfilled. The things that you've gone through in life, you had to go through sometimes because God has allowed it to do. The things you have endured, the things God has allowed it to happen in your life is because His purposes have to be fulfilled in your life. The scripture had to be fulfilled, in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago to David concerning Judas. Now, we know that Judas is usually the villain. He is the bad guy in the whole of this story. He is the terrible chap who's betrayed Jesus for 30 whatever coins. And then we get this incredible, incredible description of Judah. There's no one else. Now, men who've done the study of Acts a few weeks ago, did you discuss this verse in your Bible study? I bet not. But this is one of the greatest details of the Christian story. If I was Luke, and I want to describe through the Acts of the Holy Spirit, as it is called, the Acts of Apostles, but it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit, how the church grew, how God empowered His people, I would not put something like this there. I would never do that. What do you think that is there for? Let me remind you what I said at the beginning. Our greatest stories rise up from the messiest moments of our lives. This is a messy description of what happened. But remember, Luke is a doctor. He can do that. He can put that there. In the midst of our messiest moments or the most difficult times of our stories, a bigger one arises because the Holy Spirit, it's a page turner. It's a page turner. You will not leave us there. Addiction. Cancer. Betrayal. Unforgiveness. Whatever it is. Hurt that you go through. He will not leave us there. He will move us. He will turn the page. He will turn the page. Body burst open and all incense spilled out. Every in Jerusalem about this, so they call that field in their language Akeldama, that is the field of blood. In those days, Peter stood up, and look what he says later on. The scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago to David concerning Judas. Judas, the Iscariot, the one who sold Jesus for 30 quid. Who served as what? As a guide. As a guide. Did you discuss this verse? Challenging, isn't it? For those who arrested Jesus, who was one of our number and share in our ministry, and share in our ministry. You see, we think the bad things in our life happen and we're in trouble. Many of us have even the audacity to think the bad things happen because we have sinful people. No. Sometimes God allows it to serve as a guide for His bigger purpose. We think of Judas, a villain. This morning I want to tell you something else. And it might be my last Sunday here. I'll be fired for being a kind of a heretic or something. But he was a vessel into God's hand for fulfilling His purpose. You know what the difference between Judas and Peter is? Not much, really. They both were sinners. They both betrayed Jesus. They both deny Him. The only difference is what they did later on and said about their stories. Because one of them stood up and proclaimed, the other one went away and did something else. But our stories are the same. And God loved Judah as much as He loved Peter. Yet he was a vessel of how God fulfilled the scripture had to be fulfilled in their own eyes. The scripture had to be fulfilled in their own, in their very presence. You see, we have stories to tell of how God blesses us and blesses others. We have stories to tell, our story that interwoven and mingles with the story of Jesus Christ. We have a story to tell, and our story, where we might be now, oh, Mary, the one who's been in prostitution, or George, the one who's stolen money, or Christine, the one who gossips. This is what many people remember, kind of last chapters. But the Holy Spirit every day turns the page on and turns the page on. Because many people see our story like this. But God sees our story like this. It's just at the beginning. And another page is going to be tomorrow. And then another chapter. And then another book. And then another beginning. And in all of it, there is the interwoven power of the Holy Spirit that comes to work to help our witness. And He works in our lives daily, day by day, in unexpected places with unexpected people. God works to bring encouragement and hope and joy so that we may continue to bring hope and joy into others. So I want to allow someone else to tell that kind of story where God brings encouragement and hope into our lives in the most unexpected places to the most unexpected people, for Him to share that story with me. You see, the Holy Spirit gives us the desire of our hearts. He is the one that turns the page. He is the page turner, day by day, week by week, whether it's in a cafe, whether it's in church, whether it's at work, in your prayer room, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit will turn the page. In my former book, I wrote about all that Jesus began. But now, you are the new story into His incredible story. I'd like to pray, but I think what I'm going to do, I got a few more minutes. Shauna, I wonder if we, where's Shauna gone? Shauna, oh, there she is. I wonder if we could just do again, breathe on me, breath of God, and just us sitting down, reflecting and praying whatever is in our lives, whatever